Look at the prophet Haggai, and they are the seven pastors, and they're going through from verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Just four verses this evening, 20, 21, 22, 23. Actually, we have only three verses because I've already expounded verse 20 when we were looking at the messages that he gives. And so we just need to read it over and then we'll get into the message. You will notice that out of the three verses we have left, 21, 22, 23, that I have seven headings for you. And finding seven headings in three verses is certainly good exposition. You're not missing much. And when you look at the three verses under seven headings, you will find that they divide themselves into two subjects. The great tribulation and the glorious triumph. So that's what we're looking at this evening, these three verses, these seven headings, these two great truths, the great tribulation that shall come upon the kingdoms of the heathen, and the glorious triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to reign. And that's the truth of that. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month. That is the 24th day of the ninth month. If you let your eyes go back to verse 10, because it was in the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, that he began to speak this first message. And then somewhere, that same day, the Lord gave him another message. We've been looking at the days when the prophet preached right through here, and we found that he preached in the first chapter, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. And then he didn't preach again until the 15th verse of the first chapter, in the 24th day of the sixth month. It's 24 days later. Then the second chapter began in the 7th month. And then we found out that in the 24th day of the 9th month. And here we are again in the 24th day of the month, the 9th month. Five messages. There were months in between where he didn't say a word. He must have been alone with God. And then on this particular day of this particular month, he preached twice. He was just a man that was at God's disposal. He could either sit down, wait on the Spirit moving, or he could preach twice in the one day or more if God gives up. But we didn't go over that day. But here's what the Lord said to him on the 24th day of the ninth month, verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. And I want you to note as you go by that this message, this last one, it's for Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. And so it's bringing him lessons to learn. Great lessons for the governor to learn. That's exactly where I got the different headings from. And of course they divide into the two big subjects. Now I want you to notice this first lesson. It's the essential lesson that Zerubbabel has to learn. It is very essential that we learn that God is sovereign. You see, here's what it says. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of the kingdom. I will destroy the strength of the kingdom of the heathen. Just notice the I will, that's all. God is talking. dangerous, isn't it? This brings us face to face with the sovereignty of God. You know, it's good for us to learn at all times that God rules in the kingdoms of men. Well, there are the times to just lift their eyes beyond the clouds and the heavens and thank God is still on the surface. That's a lot. Remember, no matter how strong it may get down here for the believer, remember God never loses his grip on the heavens. And remember that at all times, God is in full control. Never loses control. This world won't get into a skid while God's driving. But remember that God rules in the kingdoms of men. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had the men that God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say, what doest thou? But this is a big thing, you see. This is the essential thing to see that God said, I will shake the heaven. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy. Now he's putting on this. I will shake. I will overthrow. I will destroy. You stand back and hold your breath. You see how great your God is. How great our God is. The fire of faith. Heaven. Yes. I will overthrow the thrones. Some mighty thrones, so they think. I will destroy. You know, this is a great lesson. This is an essential one. It's good for the Christian at all times to know his God. All to get to know the power of God. That he's sovereign. That he can do as he will, when he will, when he will. This is an essential lesson. Followed on closely with this one, because this is a universal lesson. It takes the first phrase now in this message, verse 21. I will take the heavens and the earth. Just get an idea about the heavens. You know there are mighty things in the heavens. But you do know that the sun and the moon and the stars of them. These great planets move with precision movement, upheld by its power, which is the same kind when God will shake the heavens. You dispensationalists would be disagreeing with me, telling you where it's happened in the past. You tell him, come on out of your corner. Oh, I know the other tremendous 1914 war, I know all about it. Yes, and we had a horrible time when Hitler sent the few bombers over. We shoot the city. You just tell me where the bombers were taken. And I'll tell you that it's yet to happen. And I'll tell you that it will happen. Let's go back to Revelation where we were last week for a moment. And we're at the 6th chapter. Revelation chapter 6. And this is the chapter where the Lord opened the seal. And oh, I wish we had time to go down it little bit by little bit, but that won't happen this evening. We just have to have a look at 29 and the 16. Now watch this. This is verse 2 of Revelation 6. And I, that John, I beheld, John watching, he's about to watch this. I beheld when he, that is the Lord Jesus, when he had opened the 16th, and lo, there was a great earthquake. A picture of it. And the sun became black as a cloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. Even as the big tree touched the tail on finally said, what you say? Then she is stricken of all the wind. You know what the picture is like, don't you? A great big broad leaf. And you branch it out. It's very lovely tree. And there you were strong enough to get in the water. Really soon as you take it. You see some of the things you've broken up. You know, this was God's going to do the heavens. He really saw it in the heavens from the stars. Never happened. Oh, but it will happen all right. Happened, it is what you said. Hey, Mr. Sonoma, Bill Nice, and I just want you to know who I am. The only fellow that's leading me, the remnant back to Rubable. I want you to know who I am. I'm God. it says verse 17 of that chapter, for the great day of his wrath is come.
The day that will be.
You know, friends, if you look back at Calvary, that's the day of his grace. And if you see him standing at a sinner's door tonight, talking and pleading and wishing and begging and calling, that's the day of his love. Oh, the day of his love to come.
And he's coming with him. He sets the room of room.
And let the heavens until the stars fall on their heads. And every king and every rich man and every fool will cry, oh God!
But Jesus is coming to get down in your knees now. And tell the Lord, you're not big enough. You think you're tough. God is still racing. No toughness in you. The God begins to shake this world. You see how many big men there are? To none.
Old Isaiah was right, you know. He said, men, I'm only grown up. You remember John McGee preaching that? He said, kings and grasshoppers were crowned off. And judges are grasshoppers and wigs on. Ministers are grasshoppers with collars on. And the sons are grasshoppers without the collars on. Now this is a lesson, isn't it? It's a universal one. That we can get the hold of this, I want you to get this. That when this day comes, this dreadful day, this horrible day, there'll be one sign, and it's always here. It's the sign of the heavens. It's the sun will become dark, and the moon will become blood, and the stars will fall on the earth. And you know, if you trace the sun and the moon and the stars through the scriptures, then they'll lead you back to it. It's just like the star that led the wise men. It will lead you back to this day every time. It will only happen on this particular day, the day of the Lord. It's a period, of course. Not the 24 hours, isn't it? But that's the time. Now let's get back to this little portion that we're at. Because we have looked at the essential lesson of here in the sovereignty of God. And we've looked at this universal lesson, and I thought you'd see the ability of God. God can shake the whole lot of us. And then we come to verse 22, and he says, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdom. And there's an old translation of that that says, I will overthrow every throne of the kingdom. And you know, friends, this is an international lesson. And now God's going to talk all the kingdoms down until the kingdoms become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. By every knee will bow you. And he will deal with all the thrones. I know that there are a lot of them empty, but where they're empty, they've got the so-called presidents. And they've got the leaders. Then God will deal with the whole thousand. I wouldn't allow me to choose the kingdom, but I choose one of them being dealt with. It's a history. And it's such a truth. The prophet says of Ezekiel, chapter 32. This is a very interesting one. That's why I'm selecting this one. But I can find all thrones being toppled on this particular day or period. The day of the Lord's wrath. Now this is Ezekiel 32. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, that is Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, that put up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now this is dealing with the Egyptians. I know the Pharaohs have gone. Oh, but I also know that Nabal is in his place. He is the terror of Egypt tonight, and will be the wondrous help. Now what does it say here? Son of man, pick up the lamentation for the king of Egypt and say unto him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a wheel in the sea, and thou givest forth of thy rivers, and subduest the waters of thy feet, and followest their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land. I will cast thee forth upon the open field. I will cause all the powers of the heavens to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee, and I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height, or with thine army as it is. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And then I shall put thee out, or then I shall drop thee out. What's this thing? I will cover the heavens, and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun and the cloud, and the moon. Oh, that's the sign. Let me tell you, we have the latest. Oh, you're getting another little picture now. This is not so much the new the vessel that we're at now. It's this international thing where God's giving us souls, and he is giving Egypt a little smart matter. Oh, God has an end for Egypt.
And it's coming to Egypt, whether they like it or not. In the end, it's not.
But it's very wonderful, old book you have, you know, and it's so wonderfully blessed. We've been on the whole phases. We're back at Hagar, and we're at the second chapter, and we're in the 22nd verse. Now, we have looked at this essential lesson, and so suddenly it's gone. And we looked at that universal lesson as he took the heavens and the earth and he saw the ability of God. And we were looking just now at this international lesson when he's dealing with all the thrones of every kingdom. And we saw the majesty of God for his King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now let's have a look at this one. This is what I call the numerical lesson. He says, verse 22 in the second phrase, I will destroy the plains of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots, and those that ride the men, and the horses, and their riders, shall come down. You know, this is a tremendous one, because here we see all the force and fury of God turned against the people of the kingdom. And God only giving us the throne now, and giving us the strength of the kingdoms, the people of the earth.
You know, our God's going to shake this world one day. And when our God shakes it, not only will kings tremble, but every sinner will tremble. God's going to deal with every man just on the face of the earth in that day that there's no respect for his son. And God always cares enough. That's it. Now, I'm sure you want to believe about that. This book of faith, Revelation, and we're up in this chapter now. Wonderful how these things are joined together, and it's very wonderful for me to notice how quickly he said it to the little girl. You know, there's a day coming when God's going to really shake this world, and when he does, oh, what will happen to poor mankind? We're in this chapter, and here we find the angels sounding trumpets, and every time they sound, certain things happen on earth. Look at verse 7, if you say fine. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. You know, there was a day in the history of the church of Jesus Christ when the preachers and expositors were afraid to expound it literally. They just couldn't believe old scholars 200 years back.
If I think that all of you tonight, you have no trouble at all in knowing that God can burn this world tonight, the Russians can do it now. So can the Yanks. They'll burn all the trees, probably, you know, if they take an ocean.
And is the day coming, when that common jail there is going to be let loose across the broad end of the earth, and the third part of all the trees, and all the green grass, everywhere, the animal will be let loose.
No wonder those shaking machines. I tell you, friend, I never painted as rough as what it's going to be. Never. And when it happens, man will tremble. Because she's talking to her. What's this? This is the second angel sounding. But there's the second angel sounding out there. A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea. And the life died. And the third part of the sea was destroyed. Well, the miracle yet for the seamen, you know. Oh, God! That was wrong, you know! You don't do that all the time! Oh, God's in control. What an awful night it will be when the third part of the ship has run out. That's not. Don't think the thought in your head brain about expanding it. It expands itself now. It gets the double many Polaris missiles out there just from now with a couple of submarines. Do all the damage you want. Then we'll raise the head. You know it's time to entrust them to the world. And God. What do you worry for the world? I'm looking after the affairs, I'm big enough. What's this? We'll go to the fourth part there. I don't want to waste time. You can read the rest of the letters. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars, every on the other came late. But come on, you expositors that argue. I love to tell you apart sometimes. Talk about the Lord coming, you know, or think about it. This is the same day, isn't it? It won't happen twice or three times, you know. It'll just happen once. A dreadful day for me. You need to get into the next chapter, and you see what will happen to men. They're only looking at trees and fish and ships and sun and moon and stars. Here's the ninth chapter. Look at it says here. In verse 17, verse 18, it isn't fine here, chapter 9:18. By this thing was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone, which is it out of the mouth. Dreadful day come in the third part. Supposing there are 21,000 in the ground tonight, 7,000 of them will be dead. 7,000. Where are you, the Lord, of earth? God, God, you, to the heavens, to the earth, and the throne, and the mountains. Until every knee is bowed, and every
atheistic, modernistic devil! That's a picture of cut-off! It's a marine and fire! The old reptile will know then that God is there.
Never leave your Bible. Tell you about your son, paper, and what he knows. And it is a powerful book. It is a powerful book. It is God's book. You can see the same thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. The Baptist take the iron grip. And this is a tremendous point right here. Yes, get the proper connection. I will overthrow the throne of the kingdom. And I will overthrow the chariots. And those that ride in them, and the horses, and the riders to come down. Now here's a book that you must make. Everyone by the sword of his brother. You know, God is going to use many. Oh, I know that he'll use many other things. I know that he'll use the heavens. You know, men are sitting in a box with atomic energy up here. And they're doing so many wonderful things in the heavens, and I'm quite right to say wonderful things. It's about to send two men away up there to walk across and to send that mighty instrument the whole way to the moon and land the door and bring the pictures back is simply no means. So this is what this day mucker can do when it really gets down to things. But it's just mind. It's no wild man ventures out and lifts his thoughts and brings many inventions. You know, he doesn't know the end of things. He doesn't know what he's sitting on. You know, he's not a tail out of bounds, and he has got head on his head.
And in there, we read. So we read the most telling of the gospel. That's what it's kind of partly around to do it.
And God will use men to smite men. Every man by the sword of his brother. Now we'll look at Isaiah 15 just for a moment. I'm just trying to give you little snippets to go on with so that you'll catch this properly. Verse 6, just to get this little connection. Isaiah 13, verse 6. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and it will come as a destruction from the Almighty. And it certainly will. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every hot man's heart shall melt. That's why I'm not afraid to throw my weight out against the cross, at least the sacred cross. That was chill, isn't it? Yes, they shall be afraid. Signs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain of the woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one of another. Their faces shall be estranged. Behold, the day of the Lord that cometh. Through, both with wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners that are out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon is in the same day. Is it the same day? Lord, stand a long time. Stand a long looking city now, that's all. I tell you what it is. This is what we call the Great Tribulation. It's the day of God's wrath. It's the day of the Lord's wrath. God has come out of fury. God has come out of anger. For the next, for today. Now let's go back to it again. You can follow the Lord through when you can find him. It's all there for you. Now you saw the essential lesson. I will shake, I will overthrow, I will destroy. That's the sovereignty of God. We call that universal lesson. Of see the heavens and the earth. That's just the ability of God. And you call it international lesson when you will deal with the throne. There's the majesty. And you call that universal lesson when it deals with mankind. That's just the philosophy of God. I will destroy the strength of the east. And this was an ecstatic lesson teaching us that God will use them to destroy them. Now, this is the bit he wanted to get down to, of course. With it, verse 23 now. He says, in that day, in that day. Yes, sir. He says a very important phrase, you know.
You do know we're not revolutionary factors, though we are. It's talking to the room of rule.
What else have you done?
Leaning over the Bible Street of Peppers and talking to the room for a large room of rule. I want you to know who I am.
God, I'll look after you. You worry yourself.
I'll deal with the heavens and the earth and the thrones and the men. And I'll do it my way. And in that day,
In that day.
Now watch this,
because this is very beautiful.
In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I teach thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make thee as a picture. But let's bring it down to the dispensational and the typical. You know you're big enough now to know that the room of the Lord lives to that day. He's dead.
Who's dead?
Now, what did you ever say that the room of the Lord was the governor of Judah? And that happens to be one of the titles of our Lord Jesus. And that makes the Zerubbabel a picture of Christ. Now, if you'd like to have a look at it there, do you see it? It says verse 21, speak to Zerubbabel, now what's the next word? Governor! That's what he is. He's the governor. Governor of Judah. Now, when Michael was prophesying, Michael was used to God, he was a prophet. And once he came to Bethlehem, and I think he must have stood on the hills around Bethlehem. Mr. Collins and I were on the hills of Bethlehem one day. And he must have looked down and said, thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou art least among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth who shall be governor.
You know, this is exactly what's supposed to be Matthew 2, isn't it? Have a look at it just to make sure for the younger ones. It's always good to send a little book because it talks better than I do. This is Matthew chapter 2. And the wise men are coming from east to Jerusalem, saying in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And Herod the king heard them, of course, and he gathered the chief priests and scribes together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, they knew the scriptures all right, in Bethlehem of Judea, for that it was written by the prophet and the book of Micah, but what a lovely. And by Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not to be least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth our governor. Capital G. Let there be a Cherub of Judah. I have to see it. That's what we're at now. In the last day, when God kicks to death, God will be fight for. As the governor. And Cherub will be only a type or a picture, if you had the words. He's only a picture, and God is using him as a picture. Is an aspect. Now I'll just let you see it happening and then you'll know that I'm not going off the rails. I'll have to watch some of them here. I'll have to trust them and I don't leave them any room to get in on this. I keep them out of me. I hit them along like half his play and then come back to me. All right. Now let's go to Zechariah. We're at Hagai. And the next book is Zechariah. And this is very thrilling thought. Zechariah chapter 13. We're at the end of the book. And I want you to watch the phrase that we're at because it's a dispensational lesson we're learning. See how it begins in that day. Isn't that familiar? Now let's go back to chapter 12. I'm aware of chapter 2 many. It says the burden of the will of the Lord for Israel is the Lord which takes the forth of heaven and lays the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him, whether the rock like believe it or not. Behold,
I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling of all the people round about. When they shall be in the seat both against Judah and Jerusalem, I in that day.
And it tells you what will happen. And then verse 4.
In that day, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness.
Verse
6. In that day.
It's the same day, isn't it?
In verse 8. In that day.
In verse 10. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication.
Verse 11. In that day.
Then we're into chapter 13.
In that day.
And in verse 2 of chapter 13.
It shall come to pass. In that day.
And it goes on down into chapter 13. And then it comes to chapter 14.
Behold, the day of the Lord comes. And thy spoil shall be in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house is rifled, and the woman ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as any part in the day of battle. On his feet, now not this day, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Go on, try and finish your lives if you like. The Mount of Olives happens to be the Mount of Olives. And the east happens to be the east. And in that day happens to be that day. And the Lord will come back, set down like all men. And his feet, God's feet of mercy, will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives.
He's coming back to me.
Yes, this is what God's trying to get over to the rulers. So they said, now what is that? I'll shake the heavens, yes. And I'll overthrow the throne. And I'll destroy. And in that day, when the sun and the moon and the sun are all being thrown about, I will be Christ. I said, no, not yet. You know what the thing is really, don't you? Well, there are those who have religion, and the thing is very precious. And he will make Christ very precious. And the thing is used by the king, you know, for putting a seal on them. He's the one that carries it.
It's the mark of authority! And you bring Christ back, precious, powerful, wonderful, Lord!
And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the King. Is that something I want to say? God stands in his might. That day is ahead a little bit. Somewhere down there. It's not too far away because even I, being so dull, I can see the things being made ready time for this terrible, awful, terrible moment.
But before that day comes, Christ will come to the earth to take his people home because we're not appointed unto that.
When we hear the gospel, we turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven who shall deliver us from the wrath to come. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So we're at the prayer room. This shows us that we prepare. God is coming back.
Amen!
Some will read my sin. He will come again. And they put it up to be with themselves. And God help us to deliver. Now we'll follow this through next week and see the whole thing in the land of Christ.
Dear Lord, we bow at our feet, we thank you for thy word. Some lovely gifts you put in wrong, and we haven't been testing wrong. And some of us have had Bibles for years, and we've never read these phrases until tonight. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, we thank thee for what thou didst say to Zerubbabel that day, and how wonderfully thou didst use this, and thou hast revealed thy son to us again. We thank thee that he's the governor. Thank thee that he's the angel. Thank thee that he's the savior. Lord, help us to live in the light of these things. Lord, let me know these things. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oh God, help us to live loosely to the things of time. Help us to walk humbly. Help us to serve thee with reverence and with godly fear, knowing that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Bless the God. Speak to sinners. Help the Lord to flee from the wrath to come. And see thy glory. Heart of in our fear, look our blessing for thy nature. Amen.